Today I want to begin talking about, and I'm kind of titling a series for 4 weeks because I looked over the course of the rest of the summer. There's about 6 weeks, including today, and then we're already in September. Whew. Summer gone. I'm going to be preaching 4 out of those 6 sermons, and I felt like I do better personally than week to week is kind of lay out a direction for me. And I just simply use it a term called the games people play. The games people play. How many of you know people who play games? Don't raise your hands. They might be sitting next to you. No, I do that because I want you to realize, I want to be careful. I'm not putting people down when we say that. But we are aware of people who play church games. They play games and play games with God and try to play games with other people. And I want to talk to you, and I'm going to do it in maybe a unique way for you, but maybe not a unique way when you see how I do it. But I want to talk about some games. Now, I'm going to do that over 4 weeks, so you're not going to get the whole today. But let me talk to you. And what I want to use to help illustrate it, to help cover it, is use some games that we actually play. So I need a couple of volunteers. Brittany, you said you would help. Come here, sir. I think the best way to get involved in church is get involved. So I need the 4 of you and the 4 of you. Come on up. Get involved. Just line up across the front here for a moment. Pick a spot. And I'm going to walk through some games we play. How many remember Candyland? Man, it sounds like it might have been a favorite. Yeah, Candyland. I love some of the bylines of some of these, and that's what I'm going to be talking to you for these 4 weeks, the games people play. But this one's called The World of Sweets. The World of Sweets. You like Candyland? It's a great game. How about, remember this one, Chutes and Ladders? How many remember that one? I thought it was interesting. It's a game, it says, for preschoolers, and I saw a bunch of you old people clapping your hands for it. That's because you're playing with grandkids and stuff like that. I understand. But I thought it was interesting. It says for preschoolers, but it's the classic up and down game for preschoolers. And I thought, you know, we learned that in school, and then we just kept doing it all of our life. Up and down, up and down. You like Chutes and Ladders, don't you? It was one of your favorite. Still is. How many remember this one? Clue. Yeah, there you go. Clue. They've had several different types of ones come out. This one's called Secrets and Spies. Yeah. How many like Secrets? That's good, church. You're catching on. Don't like Secrets. How about this one? Sorry. Yeah, he played that one a few times. Did you see the byline of this one? Can everybody read it? At the bottom it says what? The game of... Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. The game of sweet revenge. Yeah. How about Monopoly? Anybody ever play this one for about 4 or 5 hours? Yeah. They're doing everything they can to speed it up. This is another one of those. They've come out with different ones, different series. I may be using the one, though. This is just the one here. I like this thought, though. Who will be the champion in your home? You know? But here and now. A lot of these different ones that we want to talk about. Monopoly, we're moving over. Here we go. How about this one? Trivial Pursuit. Yeah. It's pretty trivial, and it's not really something I want to pursue. But we're going to talk about the trivial things that we pursue in life. Talk about some of that. Trouble. How many remember Trouble? I like the byline. There's trouble in the bubble. What bubble are you living in? How much trouble have you created? The bubble of this world and the things of this world. This is one you can't play with everybody. What's it called? But what does the game do? The game that what? How many find that the world ties you up in knots? It's the games the world plays. Because the life takes twists at times. And what do you do about that? How you ladies doing? And one guy, stand close. You may not get that opportunity often in life. There are newer games that are out there called Sort It Out. Have you ever played Sort It Out? This is one I'm going to save for later. You'll like that game. How about this one? Risk. And I noticed I heard guys going, yeah. Yeah, it's one of those real serious gamers, you know. I mean, this was the pre-video game serious gamers, you know, that they would spend hours playing Risk, because there's a lot of risks we take in life. I'm running out of people. Anybody else want to come and stand? You want to stand by a pretty girl? You stand by a pretty girl. Yeah. Sounds good to him. I won't give you your choice. That might not look good. So anyway, how many remember games like Uno? Card games. You like card games? Now, there are other card games we play too, though. How many have ever played Hearts? Spades? Euchre? Canasta? Poker? No, I'm sorry. No. There's all kind of card games that people play and do and have. And Uno, we're going to talk about. This is another one you may not be familiar with. It's called Set. You want to throw it up there? It is the family game of visual perception. Ooh, that would be interesting to talk about. Here we have Pastor Matt. You can stand next to a guy. Handsome guy, he said. That's apples to apples. Anybody ever play apples to apples? This is the junior version, and I like the byline. It's at the top, the game of what? Crazy comparison. Isn't it amazing how we compare ourselves to others, and it's crazy? We're going to talk about it. Of course, then there's the game of life. I want to talk to you today about the games that we play. There's a lot of these that we use, and some you're familiar with, some you're not. But these bylines that they use in these games in the world, unfortunately, many times parallel to our lives. And the problem is we've taken what should be just a momentary thing and a moment of life, and we've turned it into a lifetime. In fact, I'm going to talk to you only about two today, and then I'm going to pick up several next week. But I'm going to talk to you because I want you to know there's some games that are fun this way. And realize I'm not talking about any of these games being bad. I think all of them have their fun and their moments. So I'm not putting down the game, but I'm using this because I don't want to turn these games into real life. Because if we're not careful, we do. In fact, I want to start. I'm going to start with Candyland. And the rest of these, thank you for helping. Would you give our young people and our older young people a big hand? You can just set them back there. I'm going to take that one. Hold on to that one. I want to start with Candyland. It's an interesting little game that a lot of you probably have played as a kid. Because I really don't know how far back does this one go? Anybody know? Long, 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 long time. At least to the 50s. Anyway, Candyland, a game that probably a lot of you are familiar with. If you haven't played it, you've seen it played by your kids or whatever. But there's the byline on it that I thought was interesting. It's called The World of Sweets. The struggle, I think, with some of the games is that we turn them into life. And the struggle is, with this byline that I have, is that the enemy has turned this world into a world of sweets. Everything in this world is good for you. You ought to try. Hey, take a spin. Take a ride on the world. It's good for you. The problem is, I have to tell you the truth because the Bible tells us the truth. Amen? The Bible says sin is pleasurable. And everybody said, oh, come on. If it's truth, it's truth. If Jesus is coming back and that's truth, you would say, amen, right? The truth is sin is pleasurable. Thank you. Because if you don't recognize it, you won't catch the traps. But it only lasts for a season. In fact, the games that we play like this, it's amazing to me. The only person who enjoys it is the person who wins. Have you ever played a game? You know what I mean? It's like, ain't no fun. So, I want to talk to you, though, because I want you to realize the enemy is trying to take this world and make it sweet. Say, it's a candy land. Enjoy it. Get all you can. You're in a candy store. Enjoy it while you're here. You know why? Because he knows you have an eternity. And that's why he wants you to make the most of every opportunity, because you won't for the rest of your life, your eternal life. I want to talk to you about this for a moment. I want to use an illustration this morning from the Bible, because the enemy is lying to us. He's telling us fibs and say, hey, what the world offers is good. In fact, on the back it says, enter a world filled with sweet surprises. Oh, yeah. The surprise comes at the right end of life. Surprise! You're going to get to spend the rest of your life with me. And that's the enemy's scheme. That's his plan. In fact, Jesus had to deal with Satan when he was challenged, because he went to a desert and Satan challenged him there with worldly things. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 4. Let's read the scripture. Verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Amen. Don't that sound like a great journey? Two things. I love the part about the Holy Spirit. The desert and the devil. You know, don't really sound exciting. Let's see how much better it gets. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. It's getting better, isn't it? Good story. Verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God. I don't know how you picture the devil talking, but sometimes I hear him that way. Not through people. Now, if you're the Son of God, he said, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Pause for a moment, church. You need to know the devil knows how to quote scripture too. You say, well, he shouldn't. It's all written out. He quotes it and misquotes it and deceives you with it. But verse 7, Jesus answered him, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it is life-giving. Help us to grasp from it today, to learn from it. Lord, teach us your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, and it's been taught a lot of different ways, and I just want to briefly go through it, but the first thing that Jesus is tempted with is the substance that comes from the earth, the food. In fact, Satan comes to Jesus and says, take this stone and turn it to bread. 40 days, you're hungry. Surely this will satisfy you. I think it's very interesting, though, the Word who formed and made all these things chooses not to do so, to honor God, but most of all, to honor His creation. He does not change what was into something else. The stone was made to be a stone, and wheat was made to make bread from. I think it's interesting that he recognizes the substance of the things of the world. Even if you could change them, they do not satisfy. They're not long-lasting. I want you to know this morning, Jesus recognized that the things that we live by are not just the natural, they are the supernatural. They are the words of God that we need spoken into our hearts and our lives. David puts it this way, "Thy words have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against God." Church, we need the bread of life to come into our lives. It's not just the substance of the breads and the things you will eat today, because the enemy will tempt you and say, look at it. It's all good. It's all sweets. It's all filling. But we need to recognize I need more than what the world has to offer. Today, I'm not putting it down. Please don't misunderstand me. But I know there are people out there searching and using this day to try to do all kinds of other things the world offers them. I understand you can take Sundays here and there, but church as a whole, we need to find ourselves in the house of the Lord on the first day of the week, gathering together, continuing to put His word into our hearts, corporately worshiping Him. Because church, you need more than what this world can offer. And the enemy will lie to you. He comes to him the second time, and Satan tempts him to throw his life to the wind. Throw your life to caution. Here we are. Just, you know what? You'll be taken care of. Listen, church. You were designed for a purpose. When you were made in the womb of your mother, God, it says, He fashioned you. He ordained the days for you. And church, we have displaced those days in our lives because we've not followed Him. But God wants to fulfill those days in your life. And yet many people throw their life to caution. It doesn't matter. You know what? It'll be all right. But Jesus knew that my life has a purpose. It has a timing. And I want to follow that as the Spirit leads, not as you say. Because the world will misdirect you. It will say, hey, come on, you can do this now. It's okay. Church, you need to hear what Jesus is saying. Because the world will seem like it's a candy land. And it's only a trap. Jesus was wiser. Jesus knows His purpose. And He doesn't give in to the test. Lastly, Jesus is asked by Satan. Now get this picture. Pastor Matt, I tell you what, we'll reverse the roles. You come and help me for a moment. I was going to make you be Satan, but I'll be Satan. I'll let you be the good guy. Get a picture for a moment. You're Jesus. Kind of intimidating, isn't it? He's really not, just so you know, but for play acting purposes. Stand up. All right, there you go. Okay. Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth, okay, got it? Made Lucifer. And Lucifer takes him and says, you see all this? And shows it in all its splendor. Don't miss that. In all its splendor. It says, I'll give it all to you. Think about who he's talking to. Listen. We think, oh, I won't be deceived. I won't be caught off guard. Because I know. But that doesn't mean Satan won't do it. And it doesn't mean you won't fall. In fact, the Bible says, be careful lest you fall. He's telling Satan, hey, listen, or telling Jesus, Satan is saying, listen, I'll give it all to you if you'll bow down and worship me. I can't even imagine the boldness of Satan doing that. But he asked the Son of God, the fully God, fully man, to bow down and worship. And you'll have it all. Church, this happens in the world. Listen, what? You know what? Just worship me. In fact, you don't have to do it for a lifetime. Just do it once. And look what I'll give you. See, the temptation is not always the eternal. It can sometimes be the temporary. And if we're not careful, we get caught. And exactly how Pastor Matt acted is how Jesus acted. I wonder if he smirked like you too. And he said, no, no. He said, it's written that we're to worship one and only one, and serve him only, and God. So, thank you, Pastor Matt. So we got to be careful in our lives that, yes, what a Jesus. He's Jesus in jeans during the week. He's amazing. But if we're not careful, we can fall to these things, and they say, like, no, there's no way I could fall to that. But church, the problem is the enemy has got this thing so laid out that it's a world of sweets. In fact, you could go out there today, and I'm telling you, you could be fulfilled for a moment. But it only lasts a moment. I'm telling you, we talk about heaven a lot, and streets of gold and mansions and whatever. In fact, it's beyond your imagination. So whatever you think you can imagine, it's better. In fact, it's a candy land that's indescribable. But church, the enemy will fool you and say, hey, why don't you be a part of my world? So church, we need to be careful about the games that we play. Today, that's just the setup. I want you to see, because this world is all kinds of games that we can play. And if we're not careful, we get caught by them. But today, I want to really talk to you about the game of sorry. Did you catch the byline? And you said it pretty well, the game of sweet revenge. It's a very interesting game because kind of the purpose behind it involves sending people backwards while they're trying to advance to the goal. Isn't that great? Hey, you're trying to get there? No way, buddy. Sorry. It's amazing. We play the game. We kind of enjoy it. In fact, there's a little bit of revenge, especially when it was done to you. Right? I mean, I play it with my kids, and it's like, they have no problem putting Dad back. The problem is we play this game of life. Let me read some scripture to you. Let me finish my setup, and I want to read my scripture. The thing is about this, what happens is the game really should be renamed as sorry, but, and it's things like this, sorry, but the card I drew, you know, sent you back, not me. We throw things off on everybody else. We never take our own, for what we did, we don't take personal responsibility for it. Sorry, I wouldn't have sent you home, but that's what I have to do. It's kind of like, I feel bad about it, but I'm justified. I have the right to do it, you know, because, but I don't want to, but I have to. The problem is, we play this game with God at times. God, I'm sorry, but I couldn't stop from doing it. God, I'm sorry. And we justify with God all these things that we do. We're saying, I'm sorry, but because I drew that card in life, you know. And when do we just get sorry? And we become sorrowful. And I'm so sorry. Instead of all the justification of life, all the reasons that we do things, you might recognize some of these from the Bible. I'm sorry, but the snake told me it was okay. Remember that one? I'm sorry, but it was that woman you gave me. They felt sorry in the garden. It all started there, but justifying it because of something else. Church, I want you to know that real sorrow is what we need to have. And real sorrow isn't followed with the word but or justified. Let's read Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have, or have, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a prayer that Jesus is teaching his disciples, but I want you to see what he follows it up with. Verse 14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness is a gift. In fact, Matthew uses forgive your debts. Luke uses forgive us our sins, our trespasses. It's interesting that if you sin, you incur a debt. We owe something for what we did. And the beauty of it is that God has paid that debt and wants to forgive you if you're sorry for it. But with no justification. Just sorry and find the grace of God. In fact, this forgiveness is a gift that he has for you. And let me illustrate it. If someone owed you $50 and they forgave you of the $50, they just gave you a gift of $50, right? Reverse the tables. What if you owed somebody $100 and they forgave you of the $100? You just got a gift. What if you owed your life? And what if they forgave you? Wouldn't that be the greatest gift? That's exactly what God has done for us. He's given us a gift. He's forgiven us and given us a gift of eternal life. It's the best gift you could ever get. Forgiveness is this gift that God offers to us. Sin is likened unto debt, because it deserves to be punished. But the punishment has been taken care of. The gift is now offered. You don't have to play the game of sorry, but or being revengeful against other people. Listen, God, if he was revengeful against you, what do you deserve? You're advancing toward the kingdom. Wait a minute, I drew a card back three spaces. Does God play that with us? Not according to the word. In fact, he says he loves us and he doesn't keep a record of wrongs against us. God never draws the card. God never sends you back. He's always saying, come, advance forward. But the problem is in the game of life and the game that we play with others, we play sorry because we don't forgive others. We try to justify what they did to me. And they're trying to advance forward, but we don't forgive them, and it sets them back. Because it's hard to move forward when you're not forgiven. It's hard to press on and to the goal that you want to get to when these things feel like the pressure in on you. But God has forgiven you, and he says, why don't you forgive like I have forgiven you? Father, forgive me as I forgive those who have trespassed or who are indebted to me. And Jesus teaches this principle. If you forgive, your Father will forgive you. But if you don't. And church, that's a tough statement. It's not that we're saved by forgiving, but because we are saved, we walk into this life with him, that we have a new life in him. And we don't play the games that the world plays anymore. We play this game that we're in with God that is moving forward. We're advancing. I do not want to set people back. I don't want to send them back home. I want them to get to the goal. I want you all to get to heaven. My greatest desire would be on a Sunday morning, if the rapture took place, I want every one of you gone. I want an empty building. I'll be honest, I don't know that I could guarantee that. I don't know where you live, and that's why I want to teach you. Listen, folks, forgive. Quit holding against others. I don't know what that's going to take today. It may take a phone call from you to somebody to say, listen, I forgive you. I'm laying it aside because I'm tired of the game of sweet revenge. I'm tired of the game to get back and put you back because I'm trying to move forward. I'm going to win, but you're not. Church, Jesus loved you enough that he went to the cross. And church, we need to take up our cross and we need to follow Jesus. And so many times when people take up the cross, oh, I got this big burden. I love you, Jesus, but I'll make it. Church, I am glad to carry the cross. Why? Because the cross is the reminder of my forgiveness and what he did for me. And I'm glad that I can pour out that forgiveness to everybody else I cross. Because I'll carry my cross. Because all of a sudden my life begins to represent the cross as I walk and as I live. I don't need the games that this world offers. I need the life that he offers. Church, we get caught up into this game of sorry, and we can say it with such criticism and such meanness. But church, this might be a fun game for a moment here, but I would not add it to the repertoire of your life. It's not a game worth playing, because its end result is death, not life. Church, I'm going to talk about these games, and that one got real serious on me, and I apologize in some ways. I want to have a little fun. I want to be lighthearted, but I'm telling you what, if the Spirit of God is speaking to it, then you need to receive it, because I want you to be free. And you start forgiving, and I'm telling you, you will find a freedom in your own life, and you need that freedom, church. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, just in this moment, would you speak to every heart? For each one knows where they are with you. And the most important thing is to find forgiveness with you. And God, I pray if there's anyone in this place today that doesn't know you, Lord, you have come to forgive the world. If we would only receive it. Lord, I receive today. And Lord, may others join in receiving the forgiveness of the Lord. Because Lord, we've sinned, and I am sorry for that sin. And Lord, I don't justify that sin, but I do receive the incredible mercy and grace that you want to bestow on me. Thank you for forgiving me and making me clean. And Lord, anyone who calls upon your name right now, Lord, your word says you'll forgive them. Lord, thank you. Just call on him. Just call on him. He'll forgive you. Just call out and say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you. The Father, also pray for us. Lord, in this walk of life, there's these games we play. Lord, we don't want to play the game of revenge. God, help us to forgive others. Help us not hold it. Help us give it up. And let's pick up our cross. Let's represent the cross well. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a serious asking of your lifting of hands. Anyone receive the Lord today? I just want to celebrate with you. Anyone just, you know, the Lord, maybe you rededicated your life or gave your life for the first time. Is there anyone? I'm just asking. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to give that opportunity. Amen. Church, let's not play the game. Let's live the life. Right? There's some of these games we're going to talk about, and some of them may cut a little deeper than others, and others may seem a little bit frivolous. But some of these are, because as we play them in life, we tend to carry them into our real world and not just the game world. So, church, I'm asking us to step up and rise above and learn what the Scripture teaches us to do. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, be with your people today. Encourage us, strengthen us, grow us. And, Lord, may forgiveness abound. Lord, thank you that you love us so much. Have your way in and through us for your glory. Amen. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled day.